used to refer to a white person. But coming out of my cousin's mouth, it had a more pointed meaning of big, fat, clumsy, different. Born in 1968, the daughter of a 6-foot-tall American dad and a 5-foot-tall Thai Chinese mom, I was bigger than Thai girls my age, a fact that my cousins teased me about every chance they got. Just walking through my aunt's wooden house, my footsteps falling more heavily than those of other girls, was enough to provoke a joke about my size. My Thai cousins made it clear that they felt superior to me in other ways too. They'd tell me to stay out of the sun or I'd get even more freckles, which Thais considered blemishes. Any kind of spots were judged against a traditional Asian ideal of porcelain skin. If you're upper class, you don't work outside, so your skin stays smooth and unmarked by the sun. My smattering of freckles had nothing to do with working in the fields or anywhere else. I had them because my dad had them. But my cousins didn't care about that. They just liked finding another thing they could tease me about. And then there was this classic, "Your dad smells like cheese." Traditional Thai cuisine doesn't include cheese, and many Thais find the odor of it gag-inducing. When I was a kid, I did too. The first time my mom made me a cheeseburger when I was just about 7, I thought I was going to throw up. The smell of juicy burgers was completely overwhelmed by the sickening stench of gooey, slimy cheese. Even the texture was gross. As an adult, I did eventually develop a taste for cheese, and now, good luck prying me away from a nice runny camembert or a stinky Stilton. But as a kid who was self-conscious about being different, I felt embarrassed when my cousins would hold their noses and laugh about the way my dad supposedly smelled. Being biracial in Thailand was complicated, especially in the 1970s, as the Vietnam War forever changed the calculus between Americans and Southeast Asians. Biracial children with Phurong fathers were looked down on as half-children, and not just figuratively, as the word for biracial in Thai literally translates to half-child. Yet at the same time, some mixed-race people were seen as more beautiful, the result of an internalization of white standards of attractiveness that was just starting to take hold. Pale skin, fair hair, blue eyes, and aquiline nose, all of these were seen as markers of beauty. Of course, I didn't have any of those features myself, and neither did the many biracial kids whose fathers were black U.S. servicemen, who unfortunately were treated even worse than those of us who had white fathers. I was a mixture. I had a round face and an Asian nose, but double eyelids, sparing me the prospect of the now ubiquitous double eyelid surgery. I also had dark brown, wavy hair, rather than the glossy, straight black curtain my cousins had. Unlike theirs, my hair tended to frizz up in the humid tropical air. My mom would try to control it with braids and hair clips until she finally just gave up and gave me short pixie haircuts instead. I hated being teased and feeling different. But in other ways, I was very lucky. Unlike so many American men who fathered half-children like me, my dad didn't abandon my mom, my little brother, Tom, and me to fend for ourselves. He stayed and made us a family. My dad, Frank Duckworth, grew up in Winchester, Virginia, a small town nestled in the Shenandoah Valley at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains. He never knew his father, Joseph Duckworth, who was killed in a motorcycle accident in 1929, just 10 months after Frank was born. Suddenly left a widow at age 18, Frank's mother, Winnie, moved in with her parents in a home they also shared with her 2 unmarried aunts. So my dad grew up in a household of 4 women and his grandfather, all of them struggling to survive in the dark years of the Great Depression. Winchester is famous for 3 things. It was the town that changed hands the most during the Civil War, switching back and forth multiple times between the Union and Confederate sides. It's the hometown of country singer Patsy Cline, who is actually a classmate of my dad's at John Hanley High School. And it's the self-proclaimed apple capital of the United States. Surrounded by orchards, the town has celebrated the Shenandoah Apple Blossom Festival since 1924 with a big parade and the crowning of Queen Shenandoah. Frank's mother and grandparents had no money, but like many of their Winchester neighbors, they had apple trees in their yard. So during the Depression years, that was the one food the family always had plenty of. When my dad was hungry, which was often, they fed him every kind of apple product you can think of. Apple pie, apple crisp, apple butter, apple juice, apple cider. Apples saved Dad during his childhood, but he ended up